It's the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Jake Skorheim in today for John Curley. If you want to check out our Instagram page, just go to the John and Sherry Show. And Sherry is spelled S-H-A-R-I. Well, over in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, they are considered to be heroes because they did what, Jake Skorheim?
Well, there is a bunch of college campus protests happening right now. There's one at UW, I believe. I think there might even be two encampments at UW right now. But all across the country, there's these protests happening. And at this one campus at UNC, a bunch of protesters had torn down the American flag, and they had replaced it with another flag, which, to the campus's credit, they went in very quickly with the police, and they replaced the flag. They put the American flag back up. But then a second time, protesters were attempting to take the American flag down again when the police backed out, and a bunch of students surrounded the flag and said that they weren't going to let anybody take it down. And those students happened to be members of a fraternity that was passing by at the time.
Right. Probably. And the flag was flying at half mast because, remember, there was four Charlotte, North Carolina police officers
who had been killed
earlier in the week. So it had even more meaning to it than just the flag.
But yes,
I think we have something from Fox.
Yeah, we have some audio of the incident. So we'll play that here for you.
This is a Fox News alert. While campuses struggle to get control of their students, at UNC Chapel Hill, they are bringing order back. Students restoring the American flag and singing the national anthem after activists replaced it with a Palestinian flag.
What's really interesting there is, there's obviously two very different camps of people. There's the ones who want to tear the flag down, and then there's the other ones who want to keep the flag up, honoring, you know, not only our country, but like you were saying, it was at half mast, in honor of those police officers who died. You can see in the video, which is really awful and disturbing, but these frat brothers are standing there holding this flag up. It's quite an image, actually, and people can see it. It's a really neat image because it's all these, it's just young people holding up their flag. And there's then all these other people around them who are wearing masks or face coverings who are kind of getting in their face and screaming at them and, you know, waving middle fingers at them and and at times they're, according to the story here, throwing rocks and bottles. And still these frat brothers are just sitting there. And they're not like, it's not just them alone. There was a number of students who were cheering them on. They were, obviously you can hear it's not just the 20 or so frat brothers who were holding the flag up. There was a lot of students in that courtyard who were singing along and cheering them, which I found to be really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And it's one of those moments where you don't see this very much, especially among college kids, where they find some attachment to the flag or attachment to the United States. I mean, we only hear about the acts of, defiance or people that are against the USA. I think we actually have a sound of one of the guys that was involved in the flag.
Yeah, one of the frat brothers. His name is Alex. He talked to Fox.
I love America. I love that side of America. It's like we all just kind of connected our brains and stood there protecting one thing, and we all were like, we all were looking at every direction. If stuff was flying in, we would say heads up, we would cover each other, we would look out for other people, we would swap. We had like for an hour, and our hands did hurt, our arms did hurt. It was like a arm day for me that day. It was no gym happened that day afterwards. It was exhausting. You know, I remember we were all standing in there and I think I made a joke. I was like, oh, I don't know if it's a joke, but I was like, I was like, I'd die for this flag. And everybody was like, yeah, if they get any closer, we're going to start throwing hands. Like, we're not going anywhere. I don't care. They're going to have to tear me off this flag, like by my dead body, you know, stuff like that. And that was, you know, I'm smiling right now after such an insane day, but it's because it genuinely was hopeful. It was enjoyable to be in such an environment while doing what we think is right.
Did you?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no. I was going to say, so in American society, after something like this happens, what's the next thing that's going to happen? What is the thing that we can now monetize?
Well, in this case, they're going to throw one heck of a party.
They had a GoFundMe page started. $57,000 right now.
No. It's much more than $57,000. Can I give you the update? Because
yes.
The story has been spreading quite a bit. So they set up this GoFundMe page because obviously they're young people these days who know how to make sure that they don't lose the opportunity to capitalize on this. And so they set up this GoFundMe page and they said, they put up a thing here basically saying, hey, you know, we were defending the flag and if you want to donate, we would love to throw this rager, they call it. We'd love to throw a rager and celebrate all these people who love America and, you know, for stepping in and doing the right thing. And so I don't know what the original goal was on GoFundMe, but as of right now, they have 14,400 donations. The largest donation was for $10,000, and currently they have $472,000 on this GoFundMe page. Because it's the internet, and this is the way the internet works. Like when everybody sees this story, they go, oh, this is fun. I want to be a person who donates to this very simple thing that these people did. Like there's nothing really controversial about holding up the flag, you know?
No,
and people like it.
There's nothing controversial about that, but can't they just be heroes or be the guys that didn't have to go to the gym that day? Did they have to make money on it? I mean, that's the part that just cheapens it a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Because
Well, sorry to interrupt, but I don't think they set up the GoFundMe. I'm reading the description here. It says, commie losers invaded campuses, blah, blah, blah. These boys know men of the UNC chapel. I mean, they may have, but it's written as if somebody was doing it on their behalf to help them throw this big party that they deserve, apparently.
Okay, so somebody outside of the frat house wanted to raise money for their party.
Help us raise funds to throw this frat the party they deserve. A party worth of the boat shooed bro lariat who did their country proud.
This seems very frat brothery.
Right. I know.
There's a part of me though. When I saw this story, I was just like, you know what? Give them their party. Have a fun party. I thought it was fun because all I'm seeing on all the news stations, this is the biggest story in the country right now. Everybody's talking about how there's all these protests happening. You're seeing video of these protesters who are demanding food and all these different things. And they're saying horrible things. They're saying all these horrible, like a lot of anti-Semitic horrible things on these college campuses. And you're wondering, you're like, how is it possible these college campuses haven't figured out a way to, like, you know, get a hold of this situation? And so it all seemed like just kind of a bummer. And then you see something like this, you go like, oh, this is nice. There's still some people out there who you can recognize and identify with and go, they just want to hold up a flag and that's okay. And so I doubt they expected to get $500,000 for this party.
I doubt it. I mean, everything seems so hollow or something when you start to make money off
I agree.
Of it.
I think they should just, the stipulation should be they should have to spend every penny of this on the party.
Yeah.
Like no saving it for partitioning it. Spend every penny on the party and televise it or stream it.
Well, yeah, maybe. They could, and then they'd make further money. They'd sell advertisements. But what I think they could do, I do think there's a way to back out of this so that they can save face and it doesn't feel kind of callous that they are getting all this money from this. They could throw a nice party, couple grand, they could throw a nice party and have a fun night, and they could donate the rest to some cause.
That's exactly right. They could donate to the, I don't know.
How about the Police Officers Guild who are remembering those fallen officers?
Or the Armed Forces or something. I mean,
Anti-Defamation League, something like that.
Whatever they want to donate it to. Whatever they want to donate it to, they could donate the money, and I think they would further.
Okay.
Or
well,
they
to
could
be
spend
continued.
Every penny
receive goodwill.
On a huge party.
Or they could spend it all
as the GoFundMe intended.
Sweet
and that
party.
Will be the follow up to this story, and just watch how everybody turns on everybody else.
Well,
now,
and Jake even said that John Rich, who's like a country music, he's a songwriter from Big and Rich, but he's also like a big producer in Nashville. He said he would play their event for free.
Yeah, he said, I'll do a concert for these kids.
Yeah, he saved 20 grand. Still got more.
Probably more
than 20
grand.
Are the accolades ever so slightly out of proportion for this. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Yes,
because
they are.
I agree.
No, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, is this what we consider to be so big and heroic and that's it? I mean, yes, what they did was great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not at all having any kind of misgivings about what they did. I just wonder, they held up the flag, which was noble and honorable and lovely. But now, I mean, now they're like getting $500,000
and press all over
the place.
I bet you by the end of the week, unless GoFundMe shuts them down, I bet you by the end of the week it's even higher. People are just going to keep donating to this until they shut it off.
And that's just kind of America, though. It's like meme stocks, you know? People get invested in something even though they know it's not like... It would make sense if they donated it to like October 7th Vic Survivors Fund or something like that. But America kind of likes the idea that it's a frat party.
Yes, they do. I do think they like the idea that it's a frat party. But another thing that I think is the reason that this story takes hold so quickly, I think, like we were talking about at the beginning of this segment, when we're seeing all of these stories all the time, like none of us, like Sherry, you and I, we're not going to college campuses. Like we're normal people who are working our normal jobs and we're not out there like having to see this. But when we do see it on the news, we go like, ah, that's a bummer. And I don't really recognize that. And is that just what college has become? Like that is not my memory of college. When I was on a college campus 20 years ago, when I was in college, it seemed very much like, all right, small town, college is still a fun thing. Now it's like the center of the media world is watching us. There's all this controversy happening. And so when you see these young guys doing this, you're just like, oh, okay, well, this like is some sense of normalcy that I think people are just like, I don't know how to respond to the rest of this. So why don't I just toss $5 at these kids to throw a keg party?
Good point. $5 would be fine. But I just think there might be, and this is a very subjective opinion that, you know, you have to use your own judgment on this. If I had $10,000, I might give these kids $500 and give the rest to an animal shelter.
Sure.
Or give the rest to whatever. And I'm not saying these kids shouldn't be celebrated or honored, but they're, you know, but well, here's good news.
The average donation is like 10, 15
okay.
bucks.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
And they have 15,000 donations. So there's a... There's a lot of people donating very small amounts and
donating to the Rager. Like
donating
specifically
to the Rager, yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the message is every time somebody donates, they do put a message here. Like this is a person just donated a couple minutes ago. I'm on the GoFundMe page right now. And $20. Well done, boys. Another one from Kim. Thank you, Brave Tar Heels, for standing and protecting our flag. I do think it elicits a response. We're a very patriotic country, like most countries are. You're really patriotic and you love your country, even if we all love it for different reasons. But we love America, and the flag stands for a different thing for all of us. And when you see somebody tearing that flag down, when you see somebody restoring that, you go, yes. You know, it's like that Iwo Jima, statue. It's very different because it's not Iwo Jima, and they didn't like risk that much to
really
do it.
They didn't really fight in a war.
Yeah, skipped was arm day, apparently. But, you know, like it still elicits a very visceral response.
Yes. It is the opposite of what is going on in the news and certainly at college campuses all over the place right now.
Because it feels good, yes.
Right. It's refreshing, and you're kind of wondering, are there any college students out there that do support America? Because all we hear about are the ones that are not. But there's good news. If you got expelled, let's say you're at Columbia and you're one of the people that got hauled in and arrested and now you're going to be expelled, there's a very prestigious university that is offering you a scholarship that you can take advantage of.
Pretty cool. They would just offer a scholarship. Isn't that amazing?
Offer a scholarship. There's a little bit of a wrinkle in this, though.
Well, only if you don't want to leave the country.
And you don't want to go to Shiraz University in Iran.
Because that's where this guy...
They're
very much probably in support of these protests, I would imagine.
Yes.
Apparently they're offering scholarships.
Well, they're very much in support of... Iran is in
supporter of Hamas. And so they're saying, hey, we recognize all of these college professors and students protesting. If you're being kicked out of college and you'd like to come and study in Iran, then here is our scholarship program. I don't know exactly how somebody can get the correct paperwork that they need to do. I imagine those are, you know, still some hurdles to jump through as
the
far as
visa to Iran. And
there's
the
visas
visa.
That need to be considered. Yeah. You know, there's could be a language barrier that people might want to consider.
I would offer this. If you're one of those protesters that has caused so much havoc that you have been expelled, visiting Iran might be a good idea for you. Why don't you go there? Why don't you go to the university and see what life is like in that country?
I think you're absolutely right. It's a great way to see another part of the world.
Yeah, I would see. And then the things you are lobbying at the United States as being oppressive and horrible and misogynistic and homophobic, go to Iran. See what they have to offer.
Yeah,
change your mind.
The person who made, he's the head of Shiraz University. He made this offer and he put out this post. He said students and even professors too. This is nice for professors who've been expelled or threatened with expulsion can continue their studies at Shiraz University. And I think that other universities in Shiraz as well as far as Providence. So it's not just Shiraz. It's like any university in that area. It sounds like they're opening their doors.
Probably some bad news if you're a women's studies major.
You might be limited, correct?
Yeah, or LGBTQ or any of those.
Well,
yeah.
Those, of course,
you're going to have issues.
You might have, there's a learning curve to any college you might go to.
I think you're right. Nate Connors is coming up in the Beacon Plumbing Traffic at the Beacon. Hey, can we change it to that?
Yes.
The Beacon. Beacon Plumbing Traffic Desk. And coming up, we're going to be talking about some train robberies. Yes, it's back. Believe it or not, people are robbing trains again. And who knew? Thank you, Jake Skorheim, who's in for John Curley on the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Bucky's Auto Service Center. It's got 16 locations and 53 years of experience. So check out Bucky's.
I love Bucky's.
Jake, yeah, I think everybody loves Bucky's.
Yeah, it's not to love.
I have to be honest about this. Do you have a fascination? I love trains. Okay, I don't get me wrong. My big bucket list thing would be go on the Orient Express. I think
that would be
very, very cool.
From the Agatha Christie murder mystery, right? Isn't there a murder on the Orient Express?
Yes.
Yeah,
and I believe it goes from, is it Paris to Istanbul or something? Anyway, I'll never be able to afford it, but I do think trains are super cool. But you have a different fascination with them because you know that they are also mysterious. And there's an old school kind of vibe that's happening with trains right now.
Yeah. Joe brought the story to my attention. I think we both share a love of train robberies, which is what's happening right now down in San Bernardino. They are robbing trains just like they did back in the Old West. Like, you have this image of a train being stopped by a group of cowboys riding their horses, stopping in the middle of nowhere, going to the wherever they carry the cash. And, you know, like, what was it? The James Brothers or whoever, you know, robbed these trains. I don't know their names.
Yeah, Billy the Kid or something.
Billy the Kid. That's it. Could be. I don't know. Whatever. Train robbers is who we're talking about. But that's happening now. There's this group of thieves down in California who are, instead of horses, they're cars that they're stealing, but they're blocking the trains, right, Joe, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
And then they're going up and digging through the various train boxes and stealing everything.
Yep, cutting the locks on the containers, looting them, just like the good old days.
Yeah, let's see here. We have an audio piece
we
on this.
We do, yeah.
KCAL has a news report about this. Let's play a minute of that.
Well, the old Wild West comes alive again as thieves move in on the trains in the Inland Empire. San Bernardino County deputies busted a group of thieves last night.
Yeah, the suspects are also accused of stealing vehicles to use as getaway cars. KCAL News reporter Michelle Geely with details on the investigation.
Victorville commuter Elias Vasquez bumped into a swarm of law enforcement officers as he made the long drive home Tuesday evening through the Cajon Pass. What he didn't know at the time was that officers had busted an auto theft ring in the West Cajon Valley. Looters, who the authorities say used stolen cars to burglarize Burlington Northern Santa Fe freight trains. A San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department spokesperson says the unnamed suspects forcibly stopped the trains just before 5 p.m. to steal merchandise. Officers say the thieves boarded a BNSF train, immobilizing it. According to authorities, they cut open locked shipping containers and tried to load cargo into the stolen vehicles.
It's just like the old Wild West. It's crazy.
Forrest Billington is a retired San Bernardino sheriff.
I'm going to pause it there real fast. Isn't that the best name for a sheriff in like the West, in like this old West looking town. Forrest Billington.
Yeah.
Forrest Billington. Ooh. I know. It sounds so made up.
It does sound made up. And he's got like a handlebar mustache. Yeah. He looks like, what's that guy's name?
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Yeah. He looks and sounds exactly like Sam. Is that Sam Elliott?
First lieutenant from the high desert who'd heard about the most recent train incident back in 2022. KCAL News broke the story of rampant thefts from cargo trains. Thousands of discarded cardboard boxes littered the tracks. A task force was formed.
I'm going to pause it here again really fast because they're highlighting right now. You can't see this because radio is an audio medium. But in the video that we have, they show this downtown like train yard in Los Angeles. And it looks like just a sea of boxes. There's like train tracks that the trains are able to cut through because they're very heavy. And I guess they're not like, discouraged by small boxes. But they are everywhere. And I guess it's a huge issue down there.
It was during 2020, 2021, during the pandemic. This is like this area where these trains would stop. And so these guys were just going down there. There was nobody out. And they were just looting the containers. So it seems like they've taken that concept and now they've just moved it way out in the middle of nowhere because I'm sure they beefed up security at the train stop.
Yeah, and there's some genius said, well, why don't we just do this out in the middle of nowhere? And they said, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, how long does it take if you to open all these containers and do all this stuff? You'd think somebody could call 911 while they're like digging through a bunch of stuff for Target.
I guess.
Or whatever they're stealing.
Can I ask you really fast about your, just as a side note, what is your fascination with overnight train travel? Because I have the same, I wouldn't call it like a fantasy, I'm not a weirdo, but I also
are you sure?
I also would really
start a debate.
Yeah, no, but I also really, that's so appealing to me. I don't know what it is. There's something about traveling on a train.
Oh, it's the best.
In a sleeping car that seems so appealing. Yeah. And I also have looked into it and the price, it's astronomically expensive.
Even to take a train, like it's like a 2-night trip from here to from Seattle to Los Angeles. It's like $1,200.
I know, it's so unaffordable. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And but what is it about it for you, Sherry? Like, why is that something you're into?
I don't exactly know why. I've been on the train a billion times going to New York and other places, and it's somewhat miserable. I mean, you're rocking around. And they kind of smell bad, and it's a quicker way to get to where you need to go. I think in my fantasy world, because I am a weirdo, that it would be more pleasing not as much trouble as flying, more pleasing than a cruise, which I just cannot even think about.
Oh my gosh, I love cruising. You're talking to the wrong person.
Really?
I've been on a bunch. Wow. No, I will sell you on a cruise. You want to talk about cruises? By the time we're done talking, we're going to be on
a
cruise ship.
Can you sell her on a cruise next? Because we talk about this all the time.
You wanted me to sell you on what's so great about cruising?
No, I don't.
I will happily do it next.
I will just say to you, unless you're willing to hold my hair for 7 days.
No, you don't get sick. You don't get sick on a cruise ship. You don't get sick on a cruise ship.
I was so sick. I've been on four of them, every single one of them. I was so sick.
Did you have the wristbands?
I had the wristband. I had the thing in my ear.
Did you take the medicine?
I had the medicine. Yeah. I even went to acupuncture every single day.
On a cruise ship, and you still got sick?
On the cruise ship. And it did, nothing helped.
But did you enjoy the experience other than the vomiting?
No. No. It's all a sea of humanity and
No, you're on the wrong boat.
A bunch of dead people.
No, you're on the wrong boat. You guys are on the wrong
the
boat.
Refrigerator.
I will not stand for you guys to talk about cruising this way. It's fantastic.
Never been on one.
I love it's the best.
But trains in like Europe.
But trains. Back to trains.
Oh, awesome. They're great. Yeah. They
like
are.
They're smooth and they're fast and the scenery is incredible.
I took a
And they bring you beer to your seat.
Yeah. They do. Yeah, no, they're great. I took a bullet train in where was it? It was in Italy. I don't know if it was called a bullet train, but it was very, very fast. It went way faster than the trains we have here. It was so fun. Just to sit there and just like, you cannot believe how fast you're going. And you get to your destination, fine, it's great. But the sleeping compartment, that's like, that's the thing that's eluded me. Oh. I took an Amtrak once from Seattle down to Fresno for a friend's wedding. A friend and I were like, oh, it'd be really fun. Why don't we take a train down here and just make a fun trip out of it? And it was a long trip. When you're not in a sleeping car, you're just sitting in a seat, basically.
Oh, no. That's
and it's
like
kind of sweaty, and it's not great.
Yeah. It's like a 14-hour flight. But I mean, you just can't get comfortable.
But you can walk around. So like the idea is that you can walk around. There's like a dining car where you can go and you can get food. There's like a ceiling made out of glass. You can order drinks and stuff. You can get like, you know, a bowl of beans or something, whatever you want to eat from there.
I mean, that's probably not a good idea on a train.
I didn't have the best choice in food. That wasn't a great experience. That's not the point. That wasn't a great experience. But a room on a train.
Yeah. Right. That's what I want to do.
More affordable. I think it would be
I wanted to also do the Rockies one, you know, where it goes from.
Somebody just texted Rocky Mountaineer train.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to do that one.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, let's go on a train trip all sometime. That'd be a blast.
And then
we'll go on a cruise.
Okay. And you can invite Nate, too.
Yeah.
Nate can come.
Okay. Nate's like, I don't even know what they're talking about. You're listening to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show. John's out today. Jake Skorheim is in. And Jake, I don't know if you've been covering this on your show, which is Cairo Nights, and it's every night between 7 and 10 p.m. Check it out.
Yes, ma'am.
The zebra story.
I've been big on the zebra.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is this has really taken off. It's like everybody's into the zebra and looking for the zebra. Why hasn't there been a little more organization around the zebra?
I don't think people want to catch it, to be honest. It's a better story. Just leave them out there.
Just on the run?
Yeah, isn't it more fun to know that there's a zebra? Is that a zebra? I don't know. Could be. I mean, it doesn't seem like they'd be very hard to tell. But, yeah, I think people just like the idea that there's a zebra running around.
I just think they could do so much more with it to exploit it.
Did you see the, was it yesterday? They had the trail cam of the cougar that was on the same path as a zebra?
That's what I'm afraid of, yes.
You think we're going to find a zebra carcass sometime soon?
I worry about that. I know that they're giving out a lot of advice. If you see the zebra, call 911. And the weirdest piece of advice that they've been giving out is don't try to ride it. What are they going to do next? Read the directions on shampoo? I mean, isn't that a little obvious?
No, it's not obvious. It's the first thing I try to do. Have you seen Swiss Family Robinson? Like, if there was an ostrich out there that was running around, I'd try to jump on its back.
Well, an ostrich doesn't have a 3,000-pound kick either.
Well, I don't know. Ostriches are pretty scary, actually. Yeah. Okay. Pretty freaky. Are you telling me you wouldn't ride a zebra if given the chance?
No, zebras are dangerous. They're not meant to be ridden.
How do you know?
They don't want that. Well, they said don't ride it.
Well, no. They're saying for the untrained, don't ride it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're a trained zebra rider. No, I didn't know that.
I wouldn't say I'm a trained zebra rider. Do I think that I could ride a zebra? Yes. Do I think that I could befriend this zebra and become its owner? Yeah.
So
I do think
why aren't more people out there trying to become the zebra finder? Like if this is zebra fever now.
That's a good name. The zebra whisperer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people aren't. Because they're lazy. It's the same reason I didn't go out and do it. I could easily drive out there and I could be in North Bend in 40 minutes. And I can go hunt for the zebra and look for him and try to ride him.
Well, I do think there are...
But I got stuff to do.
There are people and officials out there. You know, every time somebody spots them, they're trying to go back to that spot. But the zebra is very elusive, evidently.
How is it possible that they haven't caught this thing? Honestly, like I've seen what a zebra looks like. It looks nothing like the environment that it's in.
Well, and people keep... There was video this morning. I think Sam Campbell got it from somebody that, you know, was just riding there mountain biking, and there it was, you know, a couple hundred yards away.
Well, that's just it. So, like, those guys, call 911, and then just stick by the zebra for 10 minutes. What does it take? Like, it's not hard to do. Is it... What was it?
Well, I'm telling you, people are really into it, and I think they should do a little bit more organization and make a concerted effort to have it. The zebra could be like a Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
You see these zebra sightings, and then nobody thinks it's really there because maybe he got something terrible happened, but then there's another zebra sighting.
You know what? I think you're onto something.
They ought to release a female out there.
That's what I was hoping, is that maybe there would be, because this is a stallion.
And real quick, actually, just recently news came out, this is a female.
This is a female?
Yeah.
Thought it was the only male.
This new information just came out in the last 10 minutes.
Clearly the people taking care of these zebras don't know what they're doing. First they let them out of the thing, then they don't even know if it's a male or a female. So it's a female, so if we let a male go,
there we go.
They'll find her.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first order of business... is to name it, because nobody's given it a name. So it's got to be, now that we know it's a girl.
I've been seeing ZB Cooper in the news.
Oh, that's a really, can't even beat it.
Dumb.
That's done.
Yeah.
That wins.
That's,
you think that's dumb?
Like that one. Well, no, I mean, I get it, but I think we come up with some better ones. Yeah, that's your, that's going to be your job during the news. Come up with better names than that, Joe.
Mine was going to be Kevin, but if it's a girl.
What about Kyle Fox?
Kyle Fox is a good one.
Okay. Let's go over to Nate right now. He's in the Beacon Plumbing Traffic Desk. Thank you, Nate, for giving us that update on ZZ or whatever we might call her.
My pleasure.